This is Greyhound Nation, Episode 6, recorded Thursday, September 24th, 2020. Rehoming Irish Greyhounds. Greyhound Nation is a podcast for Greyhound enthusiasts produced by Greyhound enthusiasts. To learn more about our show and its hosts, visit our website at greyhoundnation.dog. That's greyhoundnation.dog. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Greyhound Nation podcast. I'm Michael Burns, and now here's your host, John Parker.
Welcome back, Greyhound lovers. We're glad to have today with us two folks from Ireland who are active in rehoming of Irish Greyhounds. We have Barry Coleman, who's the Racing Operations Manager for the Irish Greyhound Board, and also Joanne Murray, who's the Welfare Officer for the Irish Greyhound Board. You know, when you read about Irish Greyhound adoption on social media these days, you often see some observation that, well, Ireland's about 10 to 12 years behind the U.S. in Greyhound adoption. I'm not so sure that those numbers are accurate, but it's fair to say that Irish Greyhound adoption has been taking some great initiatives in the last year or so to catch up to the U.S. Adoption community, and they're doing a great job about it. So we wanted to have Barry and Joanne on today to talk a little bit about what's going on, some of the new initiatives the Irish Greyhound Board and its affiliated organization, the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust, is undertaking to increase Irish Greyhound rehoming both in Ireland and also in Europe and the U.S. So Barry and Joanne, welcome. Barry, let's first have you tell a little bit about your responsibilities with the Irish Greyhound Board and also how that interplays with the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust.
Perfect. So I'm the Welfare and Racing Operations Manager with the Irish Greyhound Board. My roles involve managing the Irish Greyhound Board's Greyhound Welfare Policy and Associated Programs. Also the Secretary of the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust, which was a registered charity set up by the Irish Greyhound Board in 1997. I'm also the day-to-day manager of the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust. I suppose one of my roles within that, there will be identification of new rehoming opportunities and also initiating welfare investigations of greyhound cruelty reports, which the Irish Greyhound Board would receive. From a racing point of view, then, I suppose, dealing with racing managers and racing officials in relation to racing rules and regulation queries. Also in relation to our grading system and that to explain to owners why their dog is an A3 or an A4 dog. Secretary of the Control Appeal Committee and Secretary of the Irish Greyhound Board Sales and Fixtures Committee. And I suppose one of my weekly roles would be to monitor the entry levels at tracks in around the country as well.
Very good. Joanne, how about you? What are your responsibilities as welfare officer?
Yeah, so I would be involved mainly with the rehoming of the retired greyhounds. So any owner that wishes to rehome their greyhound would contact myself. We would ask for photos and information about the greyhound, and then we would promote them for the rehoming. So I would also be communicating with different groups in Ireland and Europe that rehome greyhounds. So they could reserve the dogs through us, and then we would organize the transport of these greyhounds to do their new homes. So like Barry, I would investigate any allegation of some greyhound welfare issues and things like that. And also would be managing the fostering program and would help to run the new care center.
So Barry, you wear quite a few hats with the IGB. Let me ask you a few questions about how the IGB is organized and how it interplays with the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust. So tell us a little bit about the Irish Greyhound Board and how it operates.
The Irish Greyhound Board is run by a board who are board appointees are appointed by the Minister for Agriculture in Ireland. Underneath the board, then we have the Chief Executive Officer. Under the Chief Executive Officer, then we have maybe seven 6-7 executives, and that then each with responsibilities for maybe a director of regulation, director of wagering, IT, etc., and that finance, and that. So under that then is our layer then of various managers within the organizations of various departments, which I'm the welfare manager. In relation to the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust, then it's set up with a deed of trust, and under the deed of trust, that the board of Bord na Gan can appoint trustees to run the trust. They're appointed on an annual basis. All trustees would have to retire at the AGM in October, and they can seek reappointment, or they new trustees. Or new individuals could put their names forward in for possible trusteeship, which is approved in by the board of the Irish Greyhound Board.
And who funds the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust?
The Irish Retired Greyhound Trust is funded by 2% of all win prize money at tracks. And that amount then is matched by the Irish Greyhound Board then on a monthly basis. So suppose in around maybe 200,000 or so a year, and that would come with would be the finances of the Retired Greyhound Trust, 100,000 generally from the prize money, and 100,000 in from the board.
And when was the trust started?
1997. So we celebrated our 21st anniversary 2 years ago, 2018. In that year, we rehomed between ourselves and the private rehoming organizations, which the trust supports. We rehomed in excess of 1,000 dogs that year.
In the first year?
Oh, no, sorry, in our 21st year.
Oh, your 21st year. Excellent. Yeah. Okay.
it was a major milestone to reaching 1,000 dogs in that year.
Right. How many licensed tracks are there in Ireland?
The GBGB license tracks, 14 of them in Ireland at the moment.
And does Ireland have flapping tracks the way the UK does?
No, all the tracks would have to be licensed by the IGB. However, there are a number of private schooling tracks in that, but they're not official tracks. Then, like, it's only the 14 licensed ones. You have to be licensed by the Irish Greyhound Board to operate a greyhound track.
Just to give the listeners an idea of kind of the challenge of what the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust has in the way of the number of dogs to rehome, at any one time, how many active racers will the licensed tracks in Ireland have?
I suppose the last count of entry, live entries, we looked at approximately 4,100 for the month of September. That would vary then on a month-to-month basis, then depending on particular events, tracks, and that. Then there might be a big open event, and a lot of the open dogs would go to that track. New greyhounds could be coming through. Because since with the restrictions and the lockdown back in March and that, whereby we didn't race for 3 months, there was an accumulation of dogs, and they're coming out now younger. The pups are that little bit older and that then as well, like, coming through. But the sales of the greyhounds are still fairly active in that, going to the UK and that, which would be our major market here. 85% off the top of my head now would be Irish bred greyhounds that are currently racing in the UK. So we in Ireland, not alone do we breed for Ireland, but we breed for the UK as well.
Right, quite a few Irish greyhounds go over to race in England and never do much more than a training race or a schooling race in Ireland, don't they? Quite a few Irish-bred greyhounds go over and race their entire career, other than maybe a few initial training races in the UK, don't they?
Well, once the greyhounds go over, they have to be registered by the GBGB then to be able to race over there. So we get those figures back from the GBGB to show to give an indication of the level of exports that are there. Once they go over, I presume they're going over to race anyway over in the UK.
Yeah. Now, in your job as a welfare investigator, once you've completed, say you get a complaint or a report and you do your investigation, what happens then with the results of your investigation? What do you do then?
Well, we have a piece of legislation here in Ireland, which is the Welfare of Greyhounds Act 2011, and our functions are clearly defined. The functions of a welfare officer are clearly defined there, and welfare officers, they may issue fixed payment notices for breaches such as failing to notify the registrations body of the sale, purchase or debt of a greyhound, and it's all to do with traceability. We can also issue welfare notices, then improvement notices, so to speak, to ensure that if a premises needs to be upgraded, that we can actually have a document that clearly outlines what needs to be done. Failure to comply with the measures listed in a welfare notice, then you can face prosecution then through the courts. Failing to pay a fixed payment notice after 28 days, again, would the IGB are in a position to prosecute that individual then. So our welfare officers carry out the inspection, the report comes in here then, and we assess it then and try to identify the breaches of the Welfare of Greyhounds Act and proceed accordingly then based on the legislation.
So it's more typically a criminal prosecution than it is IGB discipline?
Exactly, yeah. Under the Welfare of Greyhounds Act, it's own piece of legislation. As far as I'm aware, it's the only canine breed that has its own piece of legislation as well.
Yeah, that's great. So, Joanne, let's turn to you a little bit and tell us a little bit about the care center concept, which the IGB and the IRGT has just recently instituted there in Ireland.
Yeah, so the care center, it's just newly launched, really, just in July. So it is set up to help the transition of racing greyhounds from track to retirement. So the idea is to provide high standard accommodation for retired racing greyhounds. And it contains kind of house training facilities to allow the greyhounds to adapt to different home environments. It will have a visitor's room as well to allow people to visit and to meet greyhounds prior to their adoption.
So one of the intentions of the care center concept is to increase greyhound adoptions within Ireland. Is that right?
Yeah. So as you mentioned earlier, a lot of Irish people would still see greyhounds more as race dogs rather than pet dogs. So while it is changing, the care centre will help us with that. So most of the greyhounds that we do rehome, we would rehome outside of Ireland. So we would love to find homes for more greyhounds in Ireland. And the care centre will give us a great opportunity to do just that. So the greyhounds will be promoted, socialised, in the hope of finding homes for them in Ireland. And people can come and visit the centre, meet the greyhounds, and just to see really what great pets that these greyhounds can make.
Now, I know you've just started one care centre that's operated by Viara Genchev, who many people on Facebook will know as Viara Greyford. Can you tell us a little bit about her facility and what how many dogs she has at it right now?
Yeah, so Viara really, she set it up there in July, and it was very carefully chosen. It's carefully designed to meet all the needs for the greyhounds really in that centre. So it's designed to be as home-like as possible. The kennels are filled with cushions and they just look like beds and things like that. So Viara as well, she'll have a socialisation strategy for each of the greyhounds. This could involve hands-on training and spending time in a realistic home and setting, really.
How many greyhounds does Viara have there right now?
Yeah, so she's a capacity for 18 greyhounds. So at the moment, she has 18 greyhounds.
That's excellent. Now, is the I assume that the folks that operate the care centers are all greyhound experienced people, maybe people even that have been in greyhound racing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, they're very experienced and they're well-trained, so they're brilliant for socializing the greyhounds and even matching the greyhounds with suitable homes. And the care centre is overseen by the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust as well.
And it funds the care centres, I assume. I mean, I assume these people don't do this for free. They have expenses that have to be paid and so forth.
Yes, the care centre, it's quite expensive, but it's set up from the proceeds from the IGB Care Fund. So this was established in 2019. It's solely dedicated to supporting a range of care and welfare initiatives for racing greyhounds. So it's funded by 50% of sponsorship, 10% of all admissions and restaurant packages, and 5% of net tote income. So this is all assigned to the care fund.
So this is from all the tracks in Ireland. The funding comes from all of those sources that you mentioned.
Yes, yeah. So it's the care fund would fund the care center and other welfare initiatives, really, that the IGB will have.
Now, do the care centers operate, in addition to housing the greyhounds and socializing them and just seeing to their general well-being, do they also operate as a rehoming organization? In other words, do they do the intake on the adoption applications and screen the applicants and so forth?
So anyone that's looking to rehome a greyhound from the care center, they'll go through the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust first. So they will contact us and we will send them out an application form. We'd carry out a home check just to see that their home is suitable and what kind of greyhound would suit. So if everything goes well, we would send them then to the care center to meet Fiara and meet some greyhounds at the center.
And this is from people all over Ireland. I know Ireland's not a huge country, and so the drive to the care center may not be that long. But in other words, you'll take applications from anybody in Ireland, and once screened and home checked and so forth, then they would go to the care center to see the available greyhounds.
Yes. Now, all the greyhounds that are looking for homes, they can meet any greyhound, really. But the care center would have the visitor center. Now, the greyhounds would be well socialized and they're very well promoted and things like that. So the ideal would be them to visit the care center and meet the greyhounds here, but they can meet greyhounds from all over Ireland as well. We have most of the greyhounds stay with their owners prior to their rehoming, so they can meet greyhounds through the owners also. So the care center is just an extra way for people to meet greyhounds.
They kind of a one-stop shop. They can see quite a few greyhounds in one visit.
Yeah, it's much easier for them, really. You know, if all the greyhounds have different personality and different needs in the greyhound care center, so by visiting, really, you'll find the greyhound that will match you.
Yeah. So all the applications come through the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust, which does the screening and home check process. And so when people go to a care center or an owner's facility to see the greyhounds, they're already approved adopters. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, that's the ideal. So everyone will be home checked before they actually go to the greyhounds to meet any greyhounds. So that way, if they come to the care center, as you say, they could be from all over Ireland, rather than having to make two or three trips back. If the home check is approved, they can go visit the care center, pick a greyhound, and bring the greyhound home with them.
Yeah, that's great. Now, in addition to owners and the care center, are there other facilities or people that we would call it here in the U.S. provide a foster home for a racing greyhound?
Yes, we extended our foster scheme just last year. So we do have 8 active fosters at the moment. So any of the greyhounds really in our foster homes would be reserved for rehoming to Europe or other places in Ireland maybe. But so we do have fostering as well as the care center.
Yeah. Barry, I know, you know, from the history of greyhound adoption here in the U.S., American adoption groups were faced with some of the challenges back in the 90s. There were a lot of misconceptions about racing greyhounds, that they were high strung or they needed a lot of room or they needed to run every day and that sort of thing. And I suspect that that's some of the same kind of attitude you may get from Irish folks from time to time. What's being done by the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust and its programs to kind of overcome that misconception?
Yes, you got a spot on, John. When I was growing up, I was always involved in greyhounds as well. And it was difficult to get people to change their perception in relation to greyhounds. They looked at them as a racing dog, probably a vicious dog, and that for some reason. It's purely a myth in relation to it. Like, they're, as you know, they're lovely, calm, wonderful, fun-loving animals as well. But to try and change that perception, we've gone onto national television and radio stations and on TV. We brought retired dogs with us and just to showcase them, and they passed it out on the couch and that. Social media really is where we want to go and have a higher profile on social media. We're asking all our owners and that who have pet retired dogs at home, the active people within the industry, even to send us in photographs of the dogs. Also people who have adopted dogs through the Retired Greyhound Trust, to make sure that they keep us updated with the dogs so that we can promote them. And every time that there's a lovely photograph comes in and that, it's try and get it out there and get the message, and maybe one of the national media then might take up on it and maybe do a feature on it. But we also have the Joanne was instrumental in the foster to adopt scheme, and she might be able to explain a little bit more about that, whereby that you foster first and then if you're happy you adopt. So it's giving people a taste for greyhound and a feel for it that they might like the idea but unsure, but this gives them maybe a little comfort blankets whereby that the dog can go back in into the rehoming program again if they're not satisfied, or try another one. The dog might not be suitable, but it's a great way of a person not committing. And it's very rare that they'll actually give a dog back after having it for a couple of weeks. Anyway, that the bond is created, like it seems, is very hard to sever. One of the other measures that we've introduced is process in relation to owners, to make sure that they know exactly what's involved in rehoming. It's important, like, that they know the steps, and that some people would feel it's very difficult process, but it's quite simple. So it's just to educate them in relation to it, and if they realize that it's a simple process, then more and more people will go down the rehoming route. Was going back maybe a couple of years ago, and that we might get 30 greyhounds per month looking to be rehomed. That has at least doubled in recent times, and that, so that's the level of dogs. We always probably have in the region of 300 or so dogs on the rehoming list at any one time. Thankfully, there could be maybe 100, 125 of those reserved for the maybe next month or two. So the owners are getting more. They're realizing more and more, like, that rehoming is the only way to go with their dogs, and they're going through the various programs, and not just our programs, but also the private rescues in as well.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we found here in the U.S. that it's kind of a word of mouth, and the more that U.S. folks saw greyhounds out in the public, you know, walking in the park or maybe at a store, and saw the personalities, it was kind of a self-fulfilling thing. They just began to understand these are dogs like any other dogs. They're very nice dogs. They make great pets. Maybe a family member or a friend would adopt one, and they would see what lovely dogs they are. And so it's just kind of a self-building thing. You just have to have enough of them out there in the public so that people see that their old conceptions, misconceptions about the dogs were incorrect, and that really they're very lovely dogs as pets. Now, Barry, do you have any opportunities at the tracks in Ireland where you have a little greyhound rehoming booth or some dogs on display and that sort of thing, so that the racing fans can see them as well?
We have a meets and greet there on big night. We'd always get a local person to bring in greyhounds, and can meet them at the foyer of the entrance hall. Especially at Christmas, we dressed them up as Santa's little pair with some maybe someone holding it in, like, dressed trend in as well. So it's quite funny, and that it quite makes a good photograph in as well. We also encourage people, the owners, to take part in greyhound strolls around cities and parks and that, and encourage people, like the public, to join along to get the feel for the greyhound.
Yeah, that's great. Now, we've been joined by Viara Genshiff, who those of you who are in Facebook greyhound groups may know as Viara Greyfort. Viara, welcome, and tell us a little bit about how you came to get interested in being the first care center in Ireland.
Hello, John. Thank you very much for the invitation, first of all. And there was a tender process, really, and anybody could apply for this position. It was open to anyone in Ireland who was having a kennel. I initially was not interested in applying for it, believe it or not. I never even considered it, even though my background in greyhounds runs quite a long time. At the time, I was rehoming a coursing bred bitch via the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust, and she was scheduled to go to Italy, and somebody came to pick her up, and a lady came to pick her up, and she saw my facilities and she said to me, you should really apply for that. So that's how it sort of started. I didn't really have plans to apply for it, but she said, I think your facilities are really nice and your experience and background goes back way back two retired greyhounds. My first greyhound was an adopted retired greyhound from Ireland, believe it or not. So it is funny, like I come back into greyhounds completely from the opposite perspective, not so much through, you know, family connections to racing, but through retired greyhounds. And that dog got me interested in racing and eventually further on into coursing and so on. So, yeah, this is how it all started. So I applied for the tender, and there was a long process of many months, and you had to meet certain criteria. And I think that I met all the criteria, so I was awarded this contract.
That's great. Now, what changes did you make? In other words, did you dedicate an entire one of your kennel buildings to the care center, or did you block off a certain part of your main kennel to do that? Just give us a little bit of a picture of your physical plant there.
Sure. There will be a video that will show the facilities shortly, I'm sure, that will be published. But I will sum it up. Yeah, there's an entire kennel block which used to be before dedicated to racing and coursing greyhounds. Majority were probably coursing. This whole building now is filled with retired greyhounds. So it is the retirement home and it is the care center. And a completely other building houses my own, either pets or show dogs or coursing greyhounds. So I have, I haven't changed too much. The building was quite well set up to start with. So I haven't built too many things to it except perhaps, you know, extend another section of it and modernize it a little bit. But the facilities look exactly like what they looked like for racing and coursing kennel. All the greyhounds have duvets and pillows and red beds. And it's more of a kind of in between of a kennel and a home. So it isn't a kennel and it isn't the interior of a regular house, but it's in between. So you really have a feel that they're at home. You really have a feel that they're indoors in a home. There's pictures on the walls and radio running all the time. So it isn't your typical kennel to start with, but it never was.
Yeah, it might be what we call in America here a halfway house.
Yeah, halfway house.
Now,
I think you have one yourself.
Yeah, how are they housed? Are they two an enclosure or individual crates, or how does that work?
There are no crates, so it isn't like the American system. They are in sort of individual, so to say, rooms without walls, but with partitions. And there are no crating systems in this country, and none of the dogs are in crates. They all have beds and benches. Some are housed individually, some are with another roomie. So a bitch and a dog together, if they get along. Some don't get along with others, so they're, you know, by themselves. And there's quite a lot of variety, and most greyhounds like to have a buddy, so they are housed together with someone and they keep each other company. Most greyhounds enjoy the company of another greyhound. There's outside runs, so you can open the hatches and they can go outside where they have couranda beds and they can lie in the sunshine and enjoy life.
I was going to ask you, what's their daily routine? So it sounds like you've got what we would call dog doors over here. They can come and go from the inside to the outside at their leisure.
Yes, exactly. The inside is where their beds are in their own rooms. So it's quite a large space. Like they can very easily two or three of them turn around and walk around in it. So they're not confined in any way. They can go outside or inside. They can lie on the bed outside, or they can lie in the sunshine. They can decide if they're too hot to lie on the concrete. Some of them like to lie on the concrete. During the day, they go for walks in the big field. So there's a 3-acre field, which is all fenced, and they can go and have a walk. I would usually walk groups of 6 to 8 together because they like to just do their own thing and go in the field and enjoy the grass, roll in the grass. You know how greyhounds are. They love freedom. So they will go to the field and have a little run or a little sprint, like you guys call it, a zoomie. So they would like have a little zoomie and get tired, and they'll go back in and just enjoy the, if there's sunshine, they will enjoy the sunshine. If there's rain, they will just go inside and sleep in their beds and cuddle in their pillows. So that's a basic routine. Some of them I put on a walking machine because they like to walk, and it's easier to walk three at the same time, and it's safer because some of the roads, you know, they could have people driving trucks or cars quite fast. So some lots I walk on a country road, and some lots I would walk on a walking machine. And then there's playtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from what Joanne said, you have 18 there right now?
Yes.
Very good.
They come and go. So they get adopted quite quickly. I would find that a lot of them are reserved at the minute. And it seems to me that also in Dublin, it's been very popular. So people come from Dublin to meet a greyhound. And so far, everyone who has come from Dublin to meet a greyhound has went home with one. So that's a positive thing, because the Irish from the larger cities like Dublin and Cork, they can come down to the center, spend some time with the dog, see how they bond or if they fall in love with a specific greyhound. And then most of the time they go home with a greyhound. So that's a very positive thing.
Yeah, that's great. How far is your facility from Dublin or Cork?
My facility is right in the middle of the country. So it's quite on a main highway connection. And anywhere from the large cities to my facility would be about 1.5 to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite centrally located. Anyone from around the country can drive here quite quick.
Now, a big part of the profiling of retired greyhounds here in the U.S. Is what we call cat testing, where you expose the greyhound to a cat and see what its reaction is, because an incredible number of our applicants seem to have cats. What's the situation with that? Are you able to cat test them, as we call it here in the U.S.?
Yes, we do. We have a protocol for testing with small dogs, medium dogs, large dogs, or cats. So I do have access to cats and variety of different pets, which are, you know, from Bichon Frise to terriers and Cocker Spaniels and so on. So we do test them with different sized animals to see how they react. Most of them are good with dogs. Most of them are not good with cats, as you know. So we do not test with other animals, such as, you know, gerbils or hamsters or birds or anything like that. But, I do understand what you're saying. A lot of adopters that have cats are interested in greyhounds. But it isn't easy to get a greyhound to get along with a cat.
That's right.
Maybe Joanne, if they grew up with one.
Joanne, do you have, since you're one of the since the applications come into the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust, do you get, what percentage, if you know it off the top of your head or approximately, would you say of applicants have a cat? Any idea?
Well, Europeans are okay. They seem to be okay without having cats. You know, they kind of understand that a lot of greyhounds won't get on with cats, but the Irish adopters have a lot of cats. So I'd say we're getting 50% now at the moment.
Oh, wow. That's pretty close to what we have here in the US.
Yeah. We have a waiting list of people now that have cats. So as soon as I get a cat-friendly greyhound, that greyhound is gone. You know, so we know exactly when we get one in where he's going or where she's going straight away.
Right. The big challenge for us is somebody will see a greyhound and they'll fall in love with it and they want that greyhound, but they don't have a cat. That greyhound happens to be what we call cat tolerant. So we say, no, we have to save the cat-tolerant greyhounds for people with cats.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, the old challenge was overcoming the old misconceptions about greyhounds. Now the big, now the challenge is applicants with cats. But we can't discount them because they provide good homes, and they'll send us a picture of their greyhound napping with their cat. You know, that's, you'd never think that that would work out, but it does.
Yeah, it definitely does. I have quite a few friends in Sweden and Finland that have greyhounds with cats, but most of them have grown up with a cat. So they were born in a facility that had cats. And if a greyhound is grown up with a cat, they're pretty much cat friendly. They understand the difference. I think it's quite easy to change over a greyhound to like a cat, but it takes time. They have to be exposed to the cat like indefinitely every single day for quite a long time. And it will be cat friendly as well.
Viara, when adopters come to your facility, of course, we know they've already been, from what Joanne's told us, they've already been approved. So do you show them a number of greyhounds, or have they already been kind of matched up with one or two, and then they get to select from those two? How does that process work?
The way it works is I administer the web page, and the web page profiles. So when a dog arrives to the care center, I need to profile that dog. I need to find out everything I can about the temperament and character of this dog, and ultimately profile them in the closest way possible that someone reading the profile can get a really good idea of what that greyhound is going to be like. Once they're profiled on the web page, I usually tell the adopter to choose two or three greyhounds from the web page that they feel are going to be the right dog for them. And I will introduce them to all these greyhounds. And then it's the stage of bonding. They somehow just bond with one or the other or the third. It's unpredictable which one it is, but they just bond with a specific dog, and that's the dog they take home. Sometimes and often it is the first one they meet for some unknown reason. But this is how it works. They meet each one of them, and they spend some time with the dog to see how the dog reacts to them or what they like or not like about them. And most of the time, the one they have chosen from the web page is the one they take home.
Yeah. Now, if they already have a dog of any breed, are they allowed to bring the dog to the facility to kind of let the prospective adoptee greyhounds meet the existing dog, or what's your policy about that?
Yeah, I'm open to that. Or if they can take their existing pet, they can take it to the facilities and go on an independent walk. So to say, on a neutral walk outside of the facility. So the greyhound is on a neutral ground and their pet is on a neutral ground, and see how they get along. This is mostly how you will know where they get along or not. They have to be on a neutral ground. So it isn't the dominance of you're on my house or you're on my care center. I'm open to that. It's no problem if they want to do this. Just recently, a lady a few days ago adopted a black female, and they had a Bichon Frise. So she wasn't sure how the black female would get along, and I reassured her she's very good with little dogs so far of what I've tested her. And she took her home, and within about 1.5 hours, they were just playing together. So that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Joanne, what percentage approximately of your applicants have children, young children particularly?
A lot of them, yeah. I'd be saying 70%. Most of them anyway would have children. So maybe not so much younger children. They could be maybe the older, over 12 or so like that.
Uh-huh.
So the younger children, you know, it's not too bad because greyhounds have grown up in family environments and things like that. So we will always get our greyhounds that are kind of maybe more laid back around children or a bit gentle.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of an issue.
Well, one thing I always brag about the Irish greyhound folks. I think the Irish do a better job of inculcating love of greyhounds in children than any other greyhound community in the country. You all involve the children in greyhound sports and you know, I love these pictures of all these little red-haired, rosy-cheeked Irish kids standing around a greyhound. I think that's great. We've got a lot. We could take a page out of your book over here in the U.S. We're getting there, but I just love the multi-generational love of greyhounds that you all have been able to keep going in Ireland. Do you have a minimum age, Joanne, for what you'll adopt to in terms of the children in the home?
We don't really have a rule. I think if we do get a child, maybe under one or so, we probably ring the person themselves and explain that, you know, maybe it could be a bit better to wait a while until the child is a bit older, even so they'll have enough time to kind of work with the greyhound, show them the child, things like that. So we wouldn't have a rule that you can't adopt a greyhound if you've a child under one or two or so, but just need to kind of work with the owner to, or the new adopter, to tell them it might not be a great idea for now.
You know, for a number of years here in the U.S., it's not really as true as it used to be, but there was, I wouldn't call it resistance necessarily, but they weren't, black was not a favored color. And black greyhounds were historically difficult to rehome. That's kind of fallen away now because people have come to appreciate black greyhounds. And I know in Ireland, you all have quite a few black greyhounds. With respect to the GPA program here in America, we like to say, kind of paraphrasing Henry Ford, you can have any Irish greyhound you like. You can have any color of Irish greyhound you like as long as it's black. So do you find any resistance to color over there when you're screening?
Yes, we have on our waiting list at the moment. The ones that have been waiting the longest are blacks, really, and they're generally black male dogs. You know, so there are black females aren't as bad, but the black males have been waiting a long time, really. So we really try to push the black greyhounds. And I know in the care center, the more greyhounds we're getting in, it's kind of veering a lot towards the black greyhounds because that's who are being rehomed, really. There's just more black greyhounds than any other color.
Yeah.
So as soon as there's a fawn, a brindle, or anything like that, they go straight away.
Well, it will happen, I think. I know there's a Facebook group called Love Black Greyhounds, and it's got like 15 or 16,000 members. It's one of the largest greyhound forums on Facebook. So they're of increasing popularity, and I think, you know, it's just a lot of old misconceptions that people need to come away from because they make just as lovely a pet as a fawn one or a white and brindle or whatever the other colors may be.
Yeah.
So let's turn to greyhound rehoming in other countries. Barry, a few questions for you about that. Of course, the American program just started last year. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but the big initiative, it seems, is to the Western European countries. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so I suppose I'm in the Irish Greyhound Board now, possibly 12 years or so. When I first came in, I've seen year-on-year increases in that the countries, I suppose, who take greyhounds would be, Italy would be the largest, we'd say, destination of greyhounds. Then Germany, Belgium, France, Czech Republic, Sweden, Netherlands. So right across Europe, and that with this transport go on a regular basis now to the continent, and now and again we might get the contact details of a new organisation that have set up, maybe a splinter off another one that was already existing in that. So it's to try and encourage them to maybe find more homes for the dogs then. But that has been going since 1997, since the inception of the Retired Greyhound Trust. So again, we need to nurture those agencies as well and those partnerships. The Italian lady from the organization Gacci would come over to Ireland to view greyhounds approximately maybe 4 or 5 weeks prior to the dogs going to Italy. She might see 30 dogs and take their pictures, get their profiles. She'll know exactly then the type of greyhound that is for rehoming. And once the greyhounds are promoted on their websites, then she'll know maybe a suitable family for that particular dog. Then, like, so like that, she comes over 6 times a year, and it's a fair undertaking to make. And they transport maybe possibly 6 transports a year of maybe up to 28 dogs at a time on a greyhound transporter. And when they arrive in Italy, they go straight to their homes on the day of arrival over. So it's everything is done behind the scenes and pre-transport to the destination. Germany, then we have transports probably, it used to be maybe once every 6 weeks or once every 2 months, but now there's once a month now there's transports going to Germany and that. So it's increasing. They're probably taking smaller numbers on a more regular basis rather than having to maybe take 10, 12 greyhounds once every 2 months. So it's encouraging to see that they're going on a regular basis and that it helps them to get dogs moving and that is a bit faster as well.
And are these the groups that they go to in the Western European countries, are they greyhound-specific adoption groups or are they kind of all breed dog adoption groups?
It varies, to be quite honest. There's one lady in Germany, she used to rehome bulldogs previously, and she went into greyhounds. And when I've seen photographs from the greyhounds in her care, you'd often see bulldogs still with the greyhounds. So she's still involved in that. Some of the rescues are specifically greyhounds. A lot of the organizations would also rehome galgos from Spain as well. Like, so they might have maybe 1 month they might get the galgos in, another month they might get the greyhounds in. So it's just into the rehoming of the particular sighthounds more than greyhounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, how are the transports organized? Are they are they all over the road, you know, once they ride the ferry over, or do they fly over to the continent?
No, it's all road and ship. So they'll pick up maybe in County Tipperary and travel maybe 200 miles to Rosslare, the ferry port. It's ferried in overnight to France and drive through France into the various destinations.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
48 hours. From door to door.
Now, I saw there was a recent post about from the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust about, I think, 30 Irish greyhounds was sent to the UK for rehoming. Is that a fairly new development?
Yes, in recent times, it's like yourselves in the States, and that there seems to be demand for retired greyhounds over a short period of time. And I would presume that maybe with a lot of people working from home now, there are more people home and there's opportunities there. And they've always liked the idea of rehoming a greyhound. And now they have, they're living in such an environment like whereby they are in a position to be able to rehome a greyhound. So suppose that's what we're seeing ourselves here in Ireland as well, like the more people working from home, more people at home there. They can tend to the dog that much better than once they are at home.
Yeah, I shared it on the Greyhound group, and several people in England commented that a number of the rehoming centers had basically run out of greyhounds because they had so many applications. One positive thing of the lockdowns is that people are home more, so they can get interested in adopting a greyhound. And so apparently they may be reaching in the UK what we have here in the US is a shortage of adoptable greyhounds, so they look to Ireland to help supply that that shortfall.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know, like, when they will become greyhounds will become available again in the UK, no doubt, once they finish their racing careers and that. But for the moment, that if there is a bit of a gap there, an opportunity for the Retired Greyhound Trust, then we need to, like, our roles are to find as many homes for greyhounds as we can. Like, so we'll have to kind of follow up on that. And then, like, we do discuss the matters with the GBGB as well, like, to let them know, like, that we are rehoming to the UK as well, which is the Greyhound Board of Great Britain, the regulatory authority in the UK.
Has there been another transport since that 30 greyhound transport?
Not of that many, no. I'm not sure offhand. Maybe John has more knowledge in relation to maybe something in the pipeline, but I think that was the first one that we did, but those big numbers anyway.
Yeah. Joanne, do you have a feel for what percentage of owners do their own rehoming in Ireland?
I wouldn't have percentage now, but it is increasing. So I know a lot of people are being approached by individuals around them that are saying, look, I know you have greyhounds. If you ever have a greyhound that you'd like to rehome, let us know. So that, especially during the lockdown, when there is a higher demand for dogs and people are working from home and they are looking for dogs, that there's been a big increase in private rehomings by individuals. So I wouldn't have a percentage, but it is definitely increasing.
Yeah. Now, is there, I know in the UK, the there's a form the owner fills out at the end of the, when the greyhound's withdrawn from racing, to indicate basically that, you know, where did it go? What happened? Was it rehomed through a agency? Was it privately rehomed, et cetera? Does the IGB have that sort of a requirement?
Under the Welfare Greyhounds Act, if an owner sells or passes on a greyhound, they need to notify the Irish Coursing Club of that fact within 14 days. So in relation to a comparison, it would be similar in that with notification. But we're currently working on a traceability model, and all that will be contained in that. There's actually, we've been working over the last couple of months now. There's a walkthrough tomorrow in relation to, again, a demo. And anybody who is rehoming a dog privately, etc., and that would have to declare that in as well. Like, I'm going by the rehoming numbers, etc., like that, probably the Retired Greyhound Trust are up maybe 400 odd since the start of the year, and the private rescues are a little bit above us in relation to it. So probably the same amount of owners are rehoming with the IRGT as they are with all of the private rehoming organizations combined.
Yeah, you know, I think that tracing concept is excellent. I've advocated for years that the NGA should have what the GBGB instituted about the withdrawal form, so we would know, you know, exactly when we were at 100% adoption. I think we've been there for several years, but we don't know it for certainty because we don't have the record keeping that would make that possible. So Barry, I'd be remiss, and Joanne, if we didn't touch on the GPA Irish Greyhounds to America program. We're on a little bit of a hold about that right now because with the lockdowns and the decrease in passenger revenue and the fewer number of aircraft flying between Ireland and the U.S. and England and the U.S., the cargo rates have gone sky high, which makes it difficult for everybody to afford. So, Barry, look into your crystal ball and tell us when you think cargo rates are going to come down.
Well, I've been in touch with the representative from the Heathrow route, and he said that American Airlines were considering transporting pets again from the 1st of October. What the rates will be like, he didn't know. I suppose this is disappointing. Same way with Ireland, like instead of direct flights to Boston, Washington, JFK, Chicago, they're probably only going to Chicago now. The size of the aircraft, I suppose, there's a lot of factors like which came against us. You've crate sizes, aircraft sizes, and the weather, of course. So the crates that we transport the greyhounds on are custom-made timber crates, and they're capable of transporting any particular size of a dog, be it a small dog or be it a large dog. The standard plastic crates that we previously used, they wouldn't be suitable for transporting the larger dogs. So we found a carpenter who was able to make these, and it's any dog could fit in any greyhound could fit in them. The aircraft size, then, I suppose, there's only one aircraft that's suitable for transporting greyhounds from Ireland to the US that can actually take these transporting crates in the hold and also have air conditioning. So if the carrier isn't using that aircraft, that type of aircraft, then we're not in a position to be able to transport. And because passenger numbers now have been reduced, they're reducing the size of their aircrafts as well. So they might only be maybe one of the larger type aircrafts transporting a day, and everybody wants to get it from four to some destinations. Four per day has gone down to one, so the cargo has to go to onto one flight. So that's why it has become more expensive to get the large space, as you can imagine. That those the timber crates would take up, especially like with maybe 6, 8, 10, 12 dogs going on a flight. Yeah. Crystal ball, I suppose, I know we are looking into probably possible charter that whereby that would be solely solely greyhounds going out on a flight. Maybe that's the aspirations that we'll build up to maybe 80 dogs or 100 dogs or so on a huge purpose aircraft, and that with suitable crates, and that then monitored by experienced individuals, kennel hands, and maybe veterinary surgeons, and that to be able to make sure that there's no issue with the dogs. But I suppose a 7, 8, 9 hour journey in the air, and that isn't much really. And that, and if we're going from maybe south of Ireland to the tip of Northern Ireland, and that it might take 5-6 hours as well. Like, so it's not a distance wise and time wise it's not a big deal, but we just want to make sure that we're not taking anything for granted, and we make sure
absolutely and you know they've all come over. I've been, and Michael has too, greeted some that came into Atlanta, and they arrived in marvelous shape. We were really going great guns with the program until the virus yes. came along, and it just kind of put everything on hold. But I can tell you from the receiving groups over here, and I think you probably know this already, but for our audience, they're immensely popular, the Irish Greyhounds are here. Everybody's loved getting them. When we had the recent Greyhound Pets of America national business meeting, the president of GPA, Steve Schifferl, went around to the groups and asked them as they introduced themselves to indicate whether they would be interested in the Irish Greyhound program, and easily 75% of them did express an interest. And so once the remaining three Florida tracks close and all those Greyhounds are dispersed, which will happen very quickly, there's going to be a lot of demand for the Irish Greyhounds. So I say all that to say, save us a few to send over to the U.S.
Perfect. You give us the green light, and we'll be ready to go. Hopefully things will improve in that over time, and the restrictions. What's involved is that when people have to travel and that, and the restrictions with the virus, and that they have to be complied with. So when people are comfortable with traveling again, and the demand comes back, and that, then maybe so. But at the moment, we're just kind of stuck in limbo and that. But I'm sure that we'll work our way out of it. And I know Tina Kelly was looking into another project and that, so hopefully that will come to fruition at some stage as well. And just again, we're checking out other routes and that from Dublin and Heathrow with Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, and Calgary, just to see is there a route, and maybe small numbers, 4 dogs, 6 dogs, etc., and that to be able to get greyhounds over to Canada where there is a demand for retired greyhounds as well.
Yeah. I think the vaccine, the development and promulgation of the vaccine is going to be the game changer. I think then everybody will we can get back to somewhat close to normal. And then Joanne and I can start gathering up all those vaccination records and pet passports and so forth that I know make Joanne pull her hair out when our USDA folks over here are so exacting in their requirements. But Joanne, you've been a real champ about it. I want to take an opportunity to thank you here on the podcast for all the work you've done with us in getting all our paperwork ducks in a row for our government folks over here to let them into the country.
Not sure it works both ways. You had a lot of work to do now as well. But looking forward to getting it all started again, hopefully.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. Well, our hour is up, folks, and I want to thank you for giving us some of your time. I know it's probably the end of your work day over there. And Viara, thank you for joining us a little bit late. Glad everything worked out with the Greyhound you had at the vet. And thanks for describing and good luck with the care center concept. We'll look forward to seeing some pictures about that. Do you have a website you want to tell us about?
Oh, well, I don't know if it's I should be the one introducing the address yet, but why don't we wait a little longer and the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust and IGB will have an official lounge for the center, the webpage, and there is a video that was made, so I don't want to be the one to bring
all
the
right,
news.
We won't get ahead. Okay, yeah, we won't get ahead of that. Shortly. Barry and Joanne can decide on that, so we'll look forward to seeing that those videos and the facility and so forth. I think it's a great concept, and congratulations to all of you on making it a reality. Barry, Joanne, and Viera, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you for
your
time.
Thank you, John.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe to Greyhound Nation wherever you get your podcasts. You can also write to us via the contact form on our website, greyhoundnation.dog. That's greyhoundnation.dog. We're also on Facebook. Search for our Grey Nation Show page. You can also tweet at us. It's @GreyNationShow on Twitter. This episode was produced in collaboration with host John Parker. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dimitri Taras. Thanks also to the members of this episode's panel discussion, Barry Coleman and Joanne Murray of the Irish Greyhound Board, Viara Genchev with IGB Care Centers. You can learn more about our panelists via the IGB website at www.igb.ie. You can also find out more about Irish Greyhounds on Facebook. Just search for Irish Retired Greyhound Trust. I'm Michael Burns, and you've been listening to Greyhound Nation.